Hello friends, I'm Chad McCarvey and this is Faithful Performance, where we discover the testimony of the biblical prophets and how they perfectly correlate with the current events of today. Thank you for joining us. Friends, we're about to embark on a 12-episode journey of my first book, God's Prophetic Timeline, Messiah's Final Warning. In these episodes, we'll discover the importance of the 1948 and 1967 prophecies, what four kingdoms will rise to power before Messiah's second coming and his millennial reign. We'll discover who Mystery Babylon the Great is, the Antichrist kingdom, Messiah's second coming, his millennial reign, and the New Jerusalem. In this episode, we're going to discover the 1948 and 1967 prophecies to continue our journey on God's prophetic timeline. But before we commence, let's understand how we can understand that we are living at the end of the age through God's creation plan. As most believers understand, God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. He created a Sabbath rest on the seventh day. And then when we turn to Leviticus 25, he commands the children of Israel to work 6 years and rest on the seventh year and let their land rest. So we have this pattern that he's created of working six and resting on the seventh. Well, what can we make of this, how it relates to the end of the age? Well, when we go to 2 Peter 3:8, it says the day is 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. So the prophetic understanding of his creation plan, the seven-day creation plan, if the Lord worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, and a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day to him, then we can understand that the world will work 6 years, so to speak, 6,000 years, so to speak, and rest on the 7,000th year, which is Messiah's millennial reign, to the 8,000th year, which is the eighth day. So it's important for us to understand this. So how can we calculate this in the math? Well, from Adam to Yeshua is 4 completed days or 4,000 years. And then from Yeshua to now is almost 2 days or 2,000 years. So as you can see, it's almost a completed 6 days or 6,000 years. And we're about to step into the seventh day or the 7,000th year, which is his millennial reign for 1,000 years. Furthermore, when we go to the prophet Hosea, in Hosea 6, 1 through 2, it states this: "After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight." So it's a prophetic understanding of Yeshua's, after his ascension, after the 4,000 years, we have 2,000 years or 2 completed days. And what the prophet is telling us, he's prophesying to the children of Israel. He's saying, after 2 days or after 2,000 years, he will revive us, Messiah will revive them, and then on the third day, he will raise them up that they may live in his sight. So it puts Messiah on earth during his millennial kingdom with the children of Israel and those who are grafted among them, among the children of Israel, which is all the Gentile believers, so that it talks about the millennial kingdom. So with the prophetic understanding of God's seven-day creation plan, and also with what Peter stated in 2 Peter 3:8 and Hosea 6, 1 through 2, we can see that we're living right now at the end of the age. We're not prophesying or setting any kind of dates, but we believe it's important to understand prophetically what the seven-day creation plan is that looks upon us, what we're living in today. So now let's go forward with the 1948 prophecy. I call this the foundation prophecy. Most believers understand that's when the state of Israel became a nation again, after 1900 years. This is profound for us to understand. This had to occur before the other end of the age prophecies could occur that is spoken of by the biblical prophets. And we're going to go through this mathematical equation that Ezekiel gave us, along with other prophets, Jeremiah and Daniel, to understand how important it is for the 1948 prophecy of when the state of Israel was created. In Ezekiel 4, I'm sorry, in Ezekiel 4:4-6, we'll go through this prophecy. He's prophesying to the children of Israel. He's speaking to the house of Israel and also the house of Judah. We'd like to recall that after Solomon's reign, or the kingdom was torn away from Solomon, and it split into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel, which was the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, which had two tribes. So he's prophesying to them the judgment upon them before the Lord will turn back to them towards the end of the age, before his second coming and his millennial reign. So in Ezekiel 4:4-6, it says this: "This will be a sign to the house of Israel." And he tells Ezekiel to lie on your left side and lay the sins of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you shall bear Israel's sin. For I have laid on you the years of their sin according to the number of days, 390 days. So what this is telling us, he's given us a mathematical equation through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was to lie on his side for 390 days. But as the Lord says, these are years for the house of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes. And then he gets to the kingdom of Judah. Okay, and then he says, when you completed the 390 days for the kingdom of Israel, lie on your right side, that you shall bear the sin of the house of Judah for 40 days, which means 40 years, again, what the Lord commanded him. So what can we make of this? This means that there's going to be 390 years of judgment for the kingdom of Israel, the northern tribe, the 10 tribes, and then you have the 40 years for the kingdom of Judah. So a total of 430 years is what the prophet is telling us for judgment. Okay, so what is the starting year of this judgment? We have to understand that to see how we calculate it to the end of the age. Well, the Babylonian Empire conquered the Assyrian Empire in 612 BC. And then King Jehoiakim was the king of Israel. Well, the history books will show us that his reign started in 609 BC. And the prophet Daniel in Daniel 1:1-3 and 6 says this: "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He besieged it, taking captives and articles of the house of God back to Babylon." So he's telling us that this judgment began in 606 BC, because King Jehoiakim was 609 BC is when he became king. And in the third year, Nebuchadnezzar came and he started the captivity of the children of Israel for 70 years. So the judgment started with the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. And we have to keep this 606 BC as the starting point of it. Okay, and as we know, Jeremiah 25:11, it says this, that they were supposed to be in Babylon for 70 years. That was when the captivity was begun. The judgment was going to be for 70 years. So after the 70 years is taken off from the 430 years, we have 360 years remaining of judgment for the children of Israel. Okay, so after the Babylonian Empire of the 70 years, we read in Ezra and the Chronicles that the children of Israel went back to the land of Israel to rebuild the temple, etc. But then if they did not follow the Torah and they did not follow God's laws and commandments, then there was going to be a 7 times judgment upon them according to the Torah. In other words, if they did not follow God's commands and laws, then the Lord would add to the judgment of what he spoke to Ezekiel. So we have 360 years remaining of judgment after the Babylonian captivity of 70 years. And then once we add the Leviticus 26:18, the 7 times judgment upon the 360 years, it gives us 2,520 years of judgment, okay, because of the 7 times, because they did not follow the Lord's commandments in the Torah. Okay, now we have to understand the Hebrew calendar. God's calendar is the Hebrew Jewish calendar, is 360 days. Most of us go on the Gregorian calendar, which is 365 days. So we have to do the math with these two calendars for us to understand what Ezekiel was telling us. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take the leap years into account as well. And you'll see that in the math. So there's 2,520 years of Israel's remaining judgment. We times that by the 360 days of the Hebrew calendar. That brings us to 907 days that was left upon Ezekiel's judgment. Because again, the 7 times judgment in Leviticus. So to convert the 907 200 days into our 365.25 solar Roman calendar, again, the 0.25 is for the leap years, it would come to this. It would be 907 200 divided by 365.25, which brings us to 2,483 years, 0.78, left on Ezekiel's prophecy. So to answer this equation, to understand the importance of the 1948 prophecy, we take the original 606 BC, that's when the starting point of the judgment was, we minus the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, that is 536, it comes to 536 BC. Okay, so then we take 2,483 years minus the 536 BC, and then we add a year because there is no 0 BC or there's no 0 AD, so it skips from 1 BC to 1 AD, so we have to add a year, and it comes to exactly 1948 on the Gregorian calendar, on the Roman calendar. And actually, if you could do the math specifically, it will come to the fifth month, which is when Israel became a nation again in May 14th, 1948. So this tells us how profound, how paramount this prophecy of Ezekiel is to understand how important the 1948 date is. When they came a nation again in 1948, the state of Israel, it opened the door for all the remaining prophecies to be fulfilled. You can think of it like this. Messiah's birth at his first coming began the first coming events to his crucifixion, resurrection, and his ascension, and we can look at it the same way with 1948. It opened the door for the remaining prophecies of the second coming events to be fulfilled, and we're going to get in that in this episode and also the episodes to come. So now let's turn our attention to Isaiah 66:8. Most believers who keep up with the biblical prophets understand that this was a prophetic understanding of 1948, and we'd like to go through that real quick. In Isaiah 66:8, and I want to mention Isaiah 66 is a timeline. He gives us a timeline of Messiah's birth in Isaiah 66:7. Israel became a nation again in Isaiah 66:8. And then it goes on this timeline through the second coming. It mentions the millennial reign as well, and also the prophetic understanding of the New Jerusalem. So in Isaiah 66:8, it says this: "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord God? Shall I cause a delivery and shut up the womb, says your God?" So this is an understanding that if we see this 1948 prophecy, or when Israel became a nation again, this begin this fulfillment of this Isaiah in Isaiah 66 of the understanding that how important this is to understand, and that leaves a gap from 1948 to the second coming. Because when you continue to read this prophecy in Isaiah 66:14, it says this: "When you see this," so he says, when you see this, when you see what? When you see the 1948 prophecy comes to fruition, this is what he says: "Your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass." This goes back into Ezekiel 37, the dry bones live. He's mentioning what the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 37. He says, "Your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be made known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies," talking about the tribulation. "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with chariots, like a whirlwind, to enter his anger with fury, and to his rebuke with flames of fire." This is second coming language. "For by fire and by his sword, the Lord God will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." We can understand this. This parallels what is written in the book of Revelations about there will be a sickle of the sword and there will be sickle of the fire. You know, there will be two judgments upon the people. This is second coming language. So we're seeing this timeline from Isaiah 66:8 to Isaiah 66:14. When you see the 1948 prophecy, Look above, you know, because it's coming according to God's prophetic timeline. So the 1948 prophecy is the foundation prophecy of the second coming or the end of the age events to occur. Once that was established, it opened the door. It was a marker. It was a sign for the remaining prophecies to be fulfilled, which is the return of the Jewish people, the Aliyah, which is mentioned in Jeremiah 16. The fishermen and the hunters will gather the children of Israel from the nations. It opens the door for them to recapture Jerusalem. It opens the door for the desert to blossom like a rose. It opens the door for the enemies to surround them, like Messiah stated in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 25, and Luke 21, and Mark 13. So this is paramount to understand that that was a marker, just like, again, just like Yeshua's birth was for the first coming. This is Israel's birth in 1948, as Isaiah 66, 8 says, was the beginning that opened the door for the other end of the age prophecies. So now let's continue on God's prophetic timeline to 1967. I call it the 1967 prophecy as well. This is when the children of Israel recaptured Jerusalem as their capital. It was the Six-Day War. You can read about that through many books and online. It was an amazing 6 days, and they rested on the Shabbat. They rested on the Sabbath after they conquered. They went against five countries and all the other Islamic countries. So that's important to understand who came against them at that time, and we'll get into that in the further episodes. But in Psalms 102, this is the 1967 prophecy, as I call it, and it gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we go forward on how important it was for them to recapture Jerusalem. In Psalms 102, it says this in verse 12, "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord." When will they fear him? At the second coming and millennial reign. Okay, and then it continues. "For the Lord," in verse 16 it says, "For the Lord shall build up Zion," Jerusalem, "and he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer." And listen to this in verse 18. "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." So this is for a future generation when the psalmist wrote this prophecy. And it says that when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Well, he couldn't build up Zion until they controlled Zion. That happened in 1967, and then this is what he states. "This will be written for the generation to come." Well, in Hebrew, that word is acharon, and that word means terminal or last. So what the prophet is saying here is when you see 1967, when they recapture Jerusalem and establish it, that this is the terminal or the last generation for Messiah's second coming. And then in verse 19, it says this, "For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord." This is paramount. This is important for us to understand how important the 1967 prophecy is. It is the terminal generation, the 1967 generation, before Messiah's second coming, his millennial reign, and before the New Jerusalem comes. This confirms the prophetic timeline that we're on. As we discussed, the 7-day creation plan was important. It was a prophetic understanding for all of us to understand that we're living at the end of the age. And then we get into 1948. It was the foundation prophecy for the remaining prophecies to be fulfilled. Then we have 1967, and then recapturing Jerusalem in the Six-Day War was absolutely incredible. It was by the Lord God's divine intervention that happened, that occurred. And now we're going forward from 1967 to the second coming. There's a gap here, and we're going to fill in this gap on the next few episodes. That's when these four kingdoms that will rise to power before Messiah's second coming, that's mentioned in the prophet Daniel. So we have this prophetic timeline, God's prophetic timeline that he's given us to understand, 1948, 1967, and now we're going to journey forward in the four kingdoms that will culminate into Messiah's second coming and millennial reign. Friends, this is paramount for us to understand. These events had to occur. These are two non-negotiable prophecies that had to occur for the remaining prophecies to be fulfilled. And we're living at the greatest time since the Messiah's first coming. Most believers for the last 2,000 years would have loved to have lived in the times that we live in. And we're fortunate enough, we're blessed enough, and we're honored enough to live in this time to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world for other believers and other non-believers to understand what the Lord is telling us at this time. In Revelation 19:10, it says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So while we're doing the kingdom work, while we're trying to bring people into the kingdom and be the light of the world, it's important for us to understand the biblical prophets to explain those to people as well. What better way to explain those or to explain the testimony of Jesus by his prophetic events that he fulfilled in his first coming and what he's going to do at his second coming and in between what we're living in today. So I hope you join us on this journey that we're going on in the next 11 episodes. We're going to fill in the gaps, so to speak, before 1948, 1967, and the second coming. And then we'll go to the millennial kingdom and also the New Jerusalem. So I hope you join us for this. Until that time, may God bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his grace. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting shalom. My name is Chadwick Harvey, and this is Faithful Performance.